Thank you, Christopher. That was wonderful. Steve and or Ann or both are going to share our scripture with us this morning.
Good morning. Today's scripture is taken from the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 24, verses 13 to 35. Now on that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What are you discussing with each other while you walk along?" They stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place there in these days?" He asked them, "What things?" They replied, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things took place. Moreover, some women of our group astounded us. They went to the tomb early this morning, and when they did not find his body there, they came back and told us that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the woman had said, but they did not see him. Then he said to them, 'Oh, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into his glory?' Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself in all the scriptures. As they came near the village to which they were going, he walked ahead as if he was going on. But they urged him strongly, saying, 'Stay with us, because it is almost evening and the day is now nearly over.' So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, blessed it and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, 'Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us?' That same hour they got up and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and their companions gathered together. They were saying, 'The Lord has risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon.' Then they told how he had made known to them in the breaking of the bread."
Thank you, Steve. This is Luke's special resurrection story. The four Gospels have a mixture of stories about the resurrection. Some are variations of what seems to be the same story, but others are found in only one of the Gospels. This one belongs only in Luke. And like some other stories that we find only in Luke, you get the feeling that Luke probably talked to the people involved. You get the feeling that Luke had talked to Cleopas and the other unnamed follower, maybe Cleopas's wife, who were making their way from Jerusalem to Emmaus, a little village some 7 miles away. These two were heading home. They had been with the others. They had heard the claims of the women about the empty tomb, and they said they were astounded and amazed. In fact, the word that's translated, astounded and amazed, can be taken to imply that they actually thought the women were delirious, that is, crazy, out of their minds. Some of the others had gone to check and had found the tomb empty, as the women had said, but they had seen no angels and certainly no Jesus. At that point, these two decided it was time to leave. Abandoning hope, they decided they better get back to their lives. We had hoped, they said, that he was the one to save Israel. But sad, disillusioned, they had given up and decided to go home. Then on the road, as they were walking and talking about all that had happened, Jesus came near and started walking with them. Jesus showed up, the story says, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. What kept them from knowing him? Did he look different? Was his energy different? I have to wonder. Quantum physics makes me wonder about the energy or the vibrations of a resurrected body. Quantum physics, when someone like Linda Nicholson talks about it, helps me get this sort of understanding that all of matter is basically energy and vibration. And it helps me to believe in resurrection and the possibility of resurrection from a more scientific base, not just a spiritual, a metaphorical base. So maybe Jesus was in some energetic way different, transformed to a whole new frequency. But what seems more sure, more obvious, is that what was really blinding them was their own grief and disillusionment. They were stuck in their lost hopes. They had hoped he would save Israel. They had hoped he would be the Messiah that they wanted, the ones they believed the prophets had foretold. But he was not that Messiah. He hadn't changed anything. He had been killed, and they were left with disillusionment, all their hopes gone. So when this resurrected Jesus appeared to them, they could not recognize him because he was not what they expected or possibly had imagined. They could not see him. All of the resurrection stories hold this theme, the inability of the people to recognize who he was. Even in the encounters when they seem to know it's Jesus, they're still so full of doubt and disbelief. Is he real? Is he a ghost? Doubt and hope, fear and joy are all mixed together. I'm fascinated by Jesus's appearing and disappearing in these stories. Clearly, the resurrected Jesus had abilities Jesus had never had before. Those of you who may be Harry Potter fans like me might find yourself thinking of portkeys, apparition. In Harry Potter, portkeys are objects, things you can grab onto that can transport you from one place to another. But apparition is even better. It's something that only the most skilled wizards can do. They can disappear in one spot and appear in another. But the Gospels are quite clear. This is not magic. Resurrection is not about magical powers that Jesus had acquired as a spiritual wizard. Resurrection is about life in a whole new realm. What Jesus meant by the kingdom of God or the inbreaking reign of God that he'd been teaching and preaching about all along. Suddenly on Easter morning, Jesus was alive in that reality. And the entire New Testament is the efforts of those early believers to try to make sense and to tell us about what happened to Jesus and what happened to them because of his life, his dying, and then his resurrection into that new reality. One thing that strikes me as I read these stories, resurrection in the New Testament is not described as something Jesus did to and for himself. The New Testament is clear. He did not raise himself. He was raised by the power of God. Somehow that feels important to me because we cannot just wish or will or conjure ourselves into the new realm of God. And when these resurrection stories bring up all sorts of questions and doubts in us, we can't just will ourselves from doubt to faith. It is always God's grace, God's movement that helps us move into faith. We cannot believe, we cannot recognize him, and then somehow by grace, we do. He comes to us. He joins us on the road. He reveals to us the truth of his living and his dying. And when we are able to let him in, when we open up just a little, he comes in and shows himself to us. They finally recognized him when they invited him as a stranger into their home. When they sat down at the table with him, when he blessed and broke the bread, then suddenly they knew him. They realized who he was. They realized this was Jesus. This story has this powerful reference to the breaking of bread that reminds us of his Last Supper and calls us to look for him every time we, as his followers, share communion together. Christ is present with us every time we break bread together. And Christ is present with us whenever and wherever we sit and eat, and we remember that he is with us. So they saw him. They recognized him in the breaking of the bread, but then he immediately vanished from their sight. Again, there is this appearing and disappearing. Cynthia Bourgeau writes that Jesus showed up to each of them in the particular ways and to whatever degree of physical density they needed to realize that he was alive. But he didn't stay with them. He didn't remain physically present because he wanted them to understand that the new way of connecting to him was not going to be through his physical body. They had to learn the new way of knowing him, not with their sight, not with their touch, but with their inner spiritual knowing. And these two realized that their hearts had burned within them as he talked to them on the road. When they finally got past their lost hopes, finally got past their grief and disillusionment, got past their own expectations, maybe finally got out of their heads, they realized they had known all along. Their hearts were telling them. Their hearts knew what their minds could not comprehend. This is true for us, isn't it? We cannot truly ever fully understand God. We cannot know God in totality at all. We cannot reach God with our minds, but our hearts can know God. Our hearts can recognize God. This Emmaus story has inspired hundreds of ministries over the generations. Ministries that get called Emmaus because people have been captured by this story. The stranger invited in, the stranger with whom we break bread, the person with whom we share a meal, revealed to us as Jesus Christ. Bill and I were part of a mission group when we first got married that started a place called Emmaus House in Raleigh, North Carolina. It's still there today. It's a transitional home for working homeless men. It gives them a place to live, to be part of the community while they save up some money and get back on their feet. I worked with another Emmaus house in Atlanta, Georgia, which is an Episcopal ministry in one of the poorest neighborhoods of the city of Atlanta. It was begun by a wealthy white Episcopal priest in the 1960s who felt called by God to buy an old house in a poor African-American neighborhood and start inviting folks into his home. Still today, both of those ministries are places where people from very different walks of life meet each other, come to know each other, eat together, and come to see the face of Jesus Christ in one another. This story challenges us to be on the lookout, to be alert for Jesus in unexpected places and unlikely people. Somehow this week, the story made me think of those Where's Waldo children's books. You know, those big old books that have pages and pages of very detailed drawings of all sorts of people busy doing all sorts of things. And somewhere on every single page, there is Waldo, the funny little guy with blue jeans and glasses and the red and white striped shirt and hat. Waldo's always there somewhere, but you have to really look. You have to search to find him. This story challenges us to search for Jesus. Yes, he may have moved to a whole new dimension, call it resurrection or heaven or whatever you will, but the New Testament promises us he has not left us. Jesus still appears in the breaking of bread, in meals shared together, whenever two or three of us gather, even if it's only in the spirit and by Zoom. Jesus is always showing up in surprising times and unexpected ways. His spirit stays with us, appears to us, shows up for us, in all kinds of people and all sorts of creatures, great and small, even little earthworms on a cold morning. If we have eyes to see and ears to hear, we can learn to recognize his presence. We can know him by the burning of our hearts. In this strange and difficult time we're living in, this story calls us to search for Jesus and to know that his presence is with us. He is here with all who are sad and depressed, all who struggle with grief and despair and suffering right now. He's with healthcare workers in hospitals and nursing homes, with scientists and doctors trying to find treatments, with government officials trying to offer leadership. And Jesus is with all of those who are doing their very essential jobs, the ones who usually get overlooked and underpaid, grocery store workers, trash collectors, bus drivers, delivery drivers and meat processing workers, and so many more. All those by necessity putting their lives on the line. Jesus is with them. Jesus is in them. Jesus is in all the unexpected heroes stepping up to be kind to a neighbor, to help a friend or a stranger. Jesus is all over the place right now. And it strikes me that he's with those of us who are asked to stay at home. We read this reading as our Lectio Divina reading in evening prayer yesterday. Three people called out the word stay with us, as what struck them from this reading. Stay with us, the two said to Jesus. And we can say that too, today, in this time. We can ask Jesus to stay with us. Stay with us when this gets hard. Stay with us when we feel bored and restless, when we feel irritable and angry with those we've been with too much. Stay with us when we feel lonely and isolated and there's no good, safe option to be with somebody else in the ways we want. Stay with us when we're trying hard to juggle our jobs and our family's needs and our own inner struggles. Stay with us when we can't see how all this is going to work out and we find ourselves losing hope. Stay with us. Open our eyes and our hearts to know that you are here, Lord, with us all the time. Jesus vanished after he had stayed with them, after he ate with them, after he made himself known to them. But even though he vanished, even though he was no longer physically there, they were full of joy because they got it. They knew he was alive. They knew he was there for them. And they jumped up from the table and rushed back to Jerusalem to tell the others. They couldn't even wait till morning. They had to get there that night. And so they charged back those 7 miles in the dark, hurrying back to share the good news. And they were met by more good news. The Lord is risen, has appeared to Simon, the others said. And these two told how he had met them on the road, and coming in to stay with them, he had made himself known to them in the breaking of the bread. I close with a prayer for our eyes to be open and our hearts expanded to see and hear and know Jesus more and more in this time. Stay with us, Lord, for though the day is far spent, we have not yet recognized your face in each and every one of our brothers and sisters. Stay with us, Lord, for the day is far spent, but we have not yet shared your bread and grace with all of our brothers and sisters. Stay with us, Lord, for the day is far spent, but we have not yet heard your word in the words of our brothers and sisters. Stay with us, Lord, because our night becomes day when you are here with us. Amen.